This is F1 Indy Girls with Soraya and Sherelle. We are two girls who love Formula One and IndyCar. This is our Japan GP recap. Before we start, to say the least, it was a very late race for us.
Yes.
And a late qualifying the day before. And we wanted to watch it live, so which meant we stayed up late, technically Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And then had some other like things we were doing that morning, so we didn't get a lot of sleep.
And then Saturday night, had to stay up late to watch the race,
which meant we were tired and we may or may not have fallen asleep
at some point
during the race. So if we miss something, apologies. I slept through a good portion of it because I was exhausted. Sherelle,
I made it through everything but the last 10 laps.
Better than me. So if we miss something, apologies. We'll try and get through as much as we can remember. I woke up for the podium ceremony, like to see who won. And then as soon as I got on podium, I fell asleep.
Yeah, I was like, still.
And then you replayed it.
I replayed it because I was like, what happened?
And I felt like as soon as you got back to where you are, and it was maybe like 2 minutes, I was awake, and then I passed out again. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
It was so bad. I was so tired.
We'll see how much we actually remember.
News.
Indy 500, 48 days out. So excited.
45 days till I leave.
38 days until I leave.
Woo-hoo! So pumped. The 100 Days to Indy came out last week, last Wednesday.
On Netflix. Go watch that.
Go watch that.
And
it's so good.
The next season comes out 28th. April 28th. So
here in about
just a few weeks.
2 weeks? No. Less than 2 weeks. No, 2 weeks. And 6 days.
Yeah. So a little under 3 weeks.
So,
highly suggest going to watch that. So good.
So much fun.
No fabricated drama. There's still plenty of drama.
There's so much drama. But it's so nice that it's not like F1's Drive to Survive, where they definitely, like, Netflix definitely makes up so much drama that actually, like, isn't there. Or, like,
makes it seem like drivers hate each other.
Exaggerated to where, like, example, Lewis and Max hate each other. Reality, they don't actually hate each other.
Like, do they have Lando beef? And Danny were...
Oh, yeah. Lando and Danny were
didn't
enemies.
Like each other, like...
Reality...
They love each other.
They love each other. Maybe not Max and Hamilton. Maybe there is a little beef, but not as much as Drive to Survive portrays.
Yeah.
So,
and
that
I
is
mean,
one thing.
Even drivers have, F1 drivers have commented on
oh,
the,
yeah.
Like, they're like, a little bit of that is not true.
Like, some of it, yes, but most of it, no. Yeah. And you would know that, like, the people who get into F1 through Drive to Survive, I feel like come in with, like, expectations that so many drivers hate each other. Or, like, have beef with each other. But
then,
like,
you start watching F1, you realize that's not the case.
Or you just stick with the fact that if you're a Max fan, you hate Lewis no matter what. And vice versa, because of what Drive to Survive portrays. Especially during the 2021 season.
Yeah.
That was...
But... Yeah. Drive to... Not Drive to...
100 Days to Indy.
So good. They have some really good storylines.
You get to know a lot of the drivers, a lot of the big main drivers.
Yeah. So like you get background. To know most of, like, Team Penske, Andretti.
Ganassi.
Arrow McLaren. Like, you get to know some of the good
drivers. Some of the RLL drivers.
So.
My brain wants to say RHL and mix up DHL with RLL. Fun times. Anyways, besides the point. Really good. 10 out of 10 recommend watching. One of my favorites. It's easy. It's so entertaining that you basically can watch the 6 episodes they have in 2 days.
Yes.
I think is what we did it in.
Yep. And it is nice and clean for those of you who don't like all the language in Drive to Survive.
Yes.
They bleep everything out, so.
Yes. That is true. So... that's that. That's a little spiel. Let's get into our recap. Your high of the weekend.
Oh, do you know what yours is?
No.
Okay.
That's why I gave it to you.
Okay. I have a couple of highs.
Choose one.
Okay. High of the weekend, I feel like, for me, being a Checo fan, is okay. How close he was to Max in qualifying. Less than a tenth of a second away. I think he was, like, 0.066 seconds. So, closest he's been to Max in qualifying all year, so I'll take it. That made me happy.
Mine doesn't necessarily have to do with the driving, but my high of the weekend was seeing Charles's helmet in memory of Jules. Also, one cool thing that I kind of realized after the race is Charles was leading the race on lap 17, which to me, as a Charles fan and someone who loves Jules and what he's done for Jules, or what Jules has done for Charles, made me kind of like all warm and fuzzy inside.
I didn't say he just made me all warm and fuzzy inside.
It just makes me really happy that he was able to do that. Also the fact that he had a really good race, watched his tires really well, and made it from P8 to P4. Which was really good. I feel like Jules was definitely watching over him during that race and was definitely there by his side. So it made me just, it was kind of very, like, special and a little sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
Just because,
yeah,
Jules died at, if you don't know, Jules died back in, I don't remember what year it was.
So I think he died 2015, but it was because of, like, stuff that happened from the crash.
From the crash.
In 2014. I could be wrong about that. The crash happened in 2014.
You
know that.
It was the Japan track that it happened at.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened at Suzuka. So this is definitely a very,
so it's kind of like the 10-year
mark of Jules dying. And so, crash. And the crash and everything. So it was very sentimental, and it was very, I don't know, just made me very happy to see that Charles.
I feel like Jules would have been proud of Charles.
Oh, he 100% would have been so proud of Charles.
Because I get for Charles, like, you could tell how disappointed he was not to have done better.
I know he definitely wanted to get on the podium for Jules.
Yeah, but still, to have the race that he did, you know, he didn't have the greatest of qualifying, but to be the only one that really made that one stop work.
Yeah, he definitely was the tire whisperer for this weekend during the race. And so, I don't know, it was that was my high of the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's just seeing Jules in loving memory of Jules, just because I'm a Charles fan and I really love Jules too, because he was a huge inspiration to Charles.
I was like, when I was picking mine, I was like, I'm leaving Charles for Sarah because I knew.
I had a couple, so I was kind of just, whatever you didn't say is what I was going to say.
I didn't want to take that one from you.
Hopefully you don't take my low of the weekend.
Go. Low of the weekend. How about you go first? And then I can't take yours because I gotta think.
My low of the weekend is, what in the heck was McLaren doing with Norris's strategy? What was going on?
I should have known that.
I don't want to get too much into detail because we'll get, like, into it during our podcast or during, like, the recap part. But to say the least, I was so pissed.
Oh, I know.
They pitted him on hards, and then he was good, and then they pitted him what, like?
Not very
long. Not very long. Scared me. Honey. The other cat decided to play with my hair and grabbed my hair. My bad. That scared me so bad. Anyways, because Rascal's up there, and he's sleeping, and I wasn't expecting Honey to do that, because she's usually a chill cat. Besides the point. Back to what I was ranting on. They pitted him shortly after he was already pitted, and he's on hards. Hards last a while, and his tires were fine. He was in a good position, and they, like, were pitting. And the reason that they gave was to, like, do an undercut, but, like, I was so mad. I was like, no. Why?
Yeah.
The undercut was kind of pointless, too, because the driver they were trying to undercut was down compared to where Lando finished.
Yeah.
I was pissed. If only you guys could have seen my live reaction.
My low of the weekend, I feel like, is the Danny Albon crash. I really wanted Danny to have a good weekend. And so, for him to get out, when, obviously, like, there's definitely been some talk about, you know, Danny possibly getting replaced if performance doesn't improve and stuff. So, I was like, Danny needs a good weekend, and then to have that crash did not help. And then, poor Williams. I mean, they already had one chassis that they had to go fix from last weekend. And then their good chassis that Albon was using just got damaged. So now they have two chassis that will have been repaired. So.
Feeling attacked by the cats.
Not the greatest for either one of them.
You're not. Yeah, you.
So that was kind of my low.
Why her yellow eyes kind of scared me for a second. I was looking at her to tell her to stop, and her yellow eyes scared me. It's dark down there. Anyways, driver of the day, go. I have like a couple in my mind, so if you take mine, you're good.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, I get he was the actual driver of the day, but I'm still gonna go with Charles because, like you said, just the being able to go, like, having not the greatest qualifying, and then to be able to make up spots and make those tires work for him to end up fourth. Proud of him.
That was one of my drivers of the day. My other one was Yuki Tsunoda. He did such a good job this weekend.
Points in his home race.
Yes, which hasn't been done in 12 years.
Yeah, the last time a Japanese driver got points in their home race.
So it's 2012.
So
it's been 12 years. So I'm really proud of Yuki. He had a really good weekend overall, really good qualifying, and made it into Q3, which, round of applause. He's been so good. And then, of course, even though it was 1 point, it was still a point. And I'm really proud of him. Very unrealistic because of where RB is at the moment. But I think it would have been so funny to see Yuki on the podium. It was so funny. I was talking with a friend, and I was like, imagine if he got on podium. And he was like, I think all the Yuki energy inside of him would explode. And he would just explode on the podium. And I was like, what about all the fans? Imagine if I was like, it would be so crazy. Unrealistic, because I know RB is not able to fight that far up, but they are good. It would have been so funny.
See, that is the thing, because you have these drivers that, you know, some of them spend most of their career in these lower teams, and so you never really get to see them on the podium. I feel like back in the early 2010s, like, even if they were on lower teams, you still occasionally saw them on podiums. The last few years, like, if you're not within the top three or four teams, really not on the podium.
Yeah.
Unless something really crazy happens.
It happens. Like Imola for... Not Imola. The Italian GP for Gasly? Is that where he won?
Yeah.
In the AlphaTauri at the time. That was surprising.
Yeah.
So or you like, have...
We just don't see it Checo very much.
Getting on... Not Checo.
I mean, well, when he was at Racing Point, we had him.
He was on the podium, but that's not who I was talking. I was thinking of someone else.
And then we've had who else win from one of the lower teams? My brain blanked.
Mine did too. Right as I mentioned Gasoline, AlphaTauri, everyone else was up. Anyways, but. So like you get them every like once in a blue moon, but they'll get their turn. Everyone will get their turn to win, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
We want to see some of these, I want to call them little guys.
Some of them aren't so
I
little.
Mean, yeah. But these lower teams. The lower teams. On the podium, so.
I just need a Lando win. That's all I need in life.
Yes.
I'd be set. On to our recap, because I think that was everything. High, low, driver.
Yep.
Recap. First thing that happened is Daniel and Albon crash on lap one, turn two, which caused a red flag for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Because they both ended up in the tire wall. So not only did they have to get their cars out of there,
they also had to fix the tire wall.
So
I will say though,
long red flag.
After this crash, it was really good to see Daniel and Albon instead of like getting mad at one of another for causing it. Because like, really, Albon could have easily blamed Danny for what have happened, and Danny could have blamed Albon in a way. But they both were very civil and were like, "You're good, bro. Like, yeah. It's all good."
Well, and I feel like the stewards definitely made the right call that, like,
it was
no,
just a racing
yeah,
incident.
Racing incident, no, you know, action necessary. Because you look at all the replays, like, Danny was focused
on Stroll
on the left,
didn't see Albon on the
Albon
right.
Albon on the right, and just Albon was trying to take the racing line and ended up.
Albon had nowhere to go.
Yeah, so.
Stroll, you know, was, it was just like three cars into one turn.
I definitely agree with the call on that one.
Yeah, it was three cars, one turn. We all know how that works out. Yes. Never works out, like, ever. Okay, maybe once in a blue moon, but like, really never works out.
Yeah.
So with the red flag, then you had a bunch of teams changing up tire strategy.
You had some that were going to try and make the
one-stop
work.
You had others who were like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of changed that up.
Yeah.
Then we went on with the race, per usual. And then Gasly hit Alcon. There's no damage, though. I don't remember what lap it was, but there was no damage.
Yeah, like, there wasn't damage. They were all good.
Life was good.
I feel like it didn't really affect their race very much at all.
No, except you hear Alcon be like, "He hit me! Yeah. Check the damage!"
Yeah.
That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you kind of brought this up, that was a little fun, that you were like, wait, what? Is when Hamilton asked the team. Let me say this again. Hamilton asked the team if he should switch positions with George.
I was like, that never happens. People don't ask, should I let my teammate by? They might be a little bit faster. Normally it's the person behind being like, I'm faster, tell him to let me by.
And I think George was just like, he wasn't necessarily going to pass Hamilton, but Hamilton could tell he was faster and was like, should we do it? They looked at data, they looked at things, and then the team was like, yes, let him by.
Yeah, but I was like, the fact that a driver asked, like, should I let my teammate behind me go past? Like,
it was very,
that doesn't normally happen.
She was very shocked, and I was like, no, you heard it right. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Ow. That hurt. I was claws into my neck.
Oh, stop it.
I'm being attacked today.
I don't know what our deal is. Okay.
She's never like this.
Then you had Joe and his gearbox problem. They had to retire the car. The only other retirement besides
the crash.
Yeah, Danny and Albon. So, nice to see, you know, not as many, like, mechanical retirements as we had last time.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Steak was still having problems with their pit stops.
Hey, they had an 8-second pit stop, though.
I was going to say, but they're improving. We're down to 8 instead of, like, the 20, 50 seconds.
54 that they had the first race?
Yeah. So, they're getting there. Which sounds so bad. It was only 8.
It was only 8 seconds. It's better than 54.
Okay. But let's talk about tire strategy. Because it was all over the place. Obviously, we talked a little bit about McLaren's strategy with Lando.
See, the thing is they were trying to undercut George Russell and Lewis Hamilton.
He wasn't
Hamilton.
Even, like, really near them.
No.
At a point.
He wasn't.
When so I don't know what him, they were doing.
When they pitted him, he was nowhere near George Russell and Lewis Hamilton. Oscar was closer to them than
yeah.
George.
It really didn't
Lewis.
Make sense. Like, he was doing just fine. Yes. It's not like he was losing a ton of time. And they just made it so the second set of hards had to last longer.
Which in the end destroyed it because that second set of hards is, you know, you know, has its whole issue. I don't, degraded and everything.
But yeah, I just don't think it was the smartest
They
choice,
also never
but...
gave a good reason to why they did, except they were trying to do an undercut.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were trying to prevent an undercut from happening from the Mercedes.
But yeah, I was
team.
Like, nowhere, he wasn't anywhere close. Like, he was...
And it was Fernando. They were also trying to undercut Fernando. But Fernando was a whole, like, 44, or what, not 44.
Oh, was he was a decent amount.
He was
behind,
a decent amount,
like,
behind.
Yeah. Lando. And I was going to say, it ended up okay for Lando. But I feel like it definitely was kind of a strange call.
I feel like he could have done better.
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was kind of, yeah, a little strange. And then we had Ferrari. They split up their strategy. Carlos, who was up front, you know, in the beginning, they had him
on the two-stop.
On the two-stop.
Two-stop.
Yeah, because he went, I think he did the same as Red Bull did with the medium, medium, hard. And then they had Charles, who was a little bit further back, and they just had him extend that stint like crazy on those mediums. I don't think anybody else could have done it.
Well, the
everybody
thing
else
was
starting to struggle on those mediums. People even on the hards were struggling.
Yeah, the thing is, the thing that I think worked out is where Charles was is when everybody else pit for their first stop.
Then he had clean air.
He had clean air and was able to go to P1.
Mm-hmm.
So that way he wasn't fighting against anybody and he had that clean air. So it made his tire, so he could have longer tires.
Yeah, because that was the thing. Everybody else who was kind of back fighting with each other,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like there's no, like.
There was no way they could have
done
it.
There was no
stop.
Way they could have done it. Because, like, everybody else on the mediums who pit to do the two stop. Like,
they were struggling.
They, a lot of them had to, you know, they dropped down quite a bit and had to fight their way up. Yeah. Even Checo talked about, like, because he dropped down behind quite a few people and had to, you know, get past all those people, which, again, is very hard on those tires. And so, it was, it left out for Charles that he kind of ended up in front. You had the Mercedes, who it looked like they were trying to do a one stop in the beginning. With, I mean, because they had changed tires onto the hards at the red flag. So technically they had run, that was their second tire compound. So they could have done it just off of that. But obviously you're not going to make it all the way on those one set of hards. So they stopped. Did they stop twice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were, I feel like, just struggling with their tires, generally. Especially Lewis. He talked about how he just couldn't turn. Like, it was like, yeah, no, George, go in front because this isn't working. And then you had, I feel like in the back, there was all sorts of strategies going on. Red Bull, both of their drivers were on the same medium, medium, hard, like Carlos. But yeah, and then even in the end, in the cool down room, they were talking about, like...
No, I was asleep.
Oh.
Well, wouldn't know.
Yeah. So they were talking about the strategies and how, you know, like, Red Bull was like, I mean, could we have done a one-stop? Maybe, but we would have not, like, we would not have been able to push at all. And so they're like, just pit us again and let us push. So. Yeah. So, really good job for Charles for making it work. I mean, no, we've said that multiple times, but it was very impressive. What else was there? Oh, Logan had his incident towards the end of the race. He had been... he hit one of the corners wrong, which made it so into the next corner, he ended up in the gravel. Luckily, he didn't hit the wall or anything, but it did kind of ruin his race, because then he had to go pit again. And, yeah. I felt really bad, because before that, he had looked like he was, you know, doing okay. But, I mean, there were parts of that race I was like, oh, yeah, go Logan. I feel like there was that crazy pit stop where, like, everybody pit, and that kind of ruined his race as well, because he had been in, like... 13, 14. And then, like, everybody from, like, there was, like, 8 different people in the pit. And Williams, where they are in the pit, I feel like, you know, because they're not in the greatest spot, everybody else comes past and he kind of has to wait. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up behind half the people that were originally behind him. So I feel like that was kind of hard for his race, but hopefully they can come back better for China. I was like, what race is next? Yeah. And I'd say, when was the last time we raced in China? It's been a minute.
It's been years.
So I'm excited to watch. I was like,
I don't think you've seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen China.
I have.
So I'm excited to be able to watch them there.
They didn't do it in 2020.
Yeah, I didn't say it's been. They didn't do it in 2021.
2022, they didn't do it.
Yeah, so we have quite a few of the newer drivers.
They were gonna do it yesterday, or
last year, but then they had stuff come up. So yeah, I was gonna say a lot of the newer drivers have not driven on it, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw the track for the first time today, and I was like, oh. That is not what I expected it to look like. It's quite an interesting track. So I'm excited. So 2019
was the last year. Yeah. I looked it up just so we weren't wrong. 2019 was the last year.
So.
That they have raced. I got to see it. That was the first one of the first ones I saw.
Mm-hmm. So.
Thing is we may or may not watch that one live. Because for us, we might watch the sprint live. That's probably about the only thing, unless we want to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so that one might be...
That one might not be alive.
Not live, but still, very excited to watch it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happened. Oh, okay. Penelope, after the race...
I've like calling all the videos of it.
Yeah. Calling to Max and Checo. That and, like, was waving at them.
That was
and
cute.
Then up on the podium, like, as the national anthem's going, you could hear her.
Yeah, Max! Yeah. Go, Max!
Yeah. So cute.
And then her mom being like, shh. Be quiet.
Yeah. So cute. What else happened? I feel like that's about it.
I won't be in school. If we want to stay up and watch China, I won't have to be in school then. That was just a fun thing. That's my spring break. The last days of my spring break.
Yeah.
It's okay. Don't ask me. I said everything I knew.
Yeah, I was like, That's about it. Next week will be another random Wednesday episode that we will find something to talk about and do for you guys. Yeah, I was gonna say we don't have a recap, so when's the next IndyCar race? We've got a minute, a few weeks, right?
I think the next IndyCar. It's,
I feel like the night, like the race, the 21st.
We have. Let's pull up the IndyCar schedule to double check.
I'm not wrong.
April 21st.
Yeah, the 21st. So the same week as China. So we'll cover them both. But not next week, but the week after.
In two different episodes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. We'll do a recap for both of them.
That way, if you don't want to listen to one, you don't have to.
Yep. Yeah. This has been our Japan recap. We hope you'll join us next week for our...
Whatever
episode. This has been F1 Indie Girls, and we'll see you next week. Bye!